good. It was good to be back, be able to be in live actions, getting some game reps, talking to teammates on the floor instead of the sideline. And I felt good. I was happy to be back. That's how I play basketball. I don't come in and just, I find a rhythm, find what the team's doing, and then I start getting aggressive in spots that I see are open. And, it's probably the increments that I'm playing, those segments, they're spread out rather than me, playing the first 12 minutes of the game. So you could probably see that once the game goes forward. Just being great in my minutes. Like I said before, I got to go out there and do what I can to win a basketball game in the minutes that I'm receiving. And, that's what I did tonight. Just whenever I was on the court, tried to play winning basketball on both ends. And, I was fortunate enough to have, a plus 26 in the game.
The sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Kawild, back in action. With me, as always, is Burbank Hank.
Oh, a big win for the Clippers on a game that we thought maybe would be an easy win, but there's not been a lot of easy wins this season. That's the truth. The hard truth. Not a lot of easy wins, and we took it away from the Detroit Pistons, who are just 3-12. But we walk away with a big win, and I feel good about it. I'm stoked.
How happy were you when you found out Kawhi Leonard is back?
I was ecstatic, and perhaps the only thing better than finding out he was going to be playing would be finding out he's starting. And the only thing better than that would be to find out that he played 25 minutes tonight.
And got the W.
You got to feel great about him playing more than 20 minutes in a game. That honestly is most exciting.
I know he didn't score electrically, but when he did, he looked electric.
Plus 26.
That's what I'm saying. My favorite part of the game, hats off to the bench who really got us back in it. Hats off to the whole squad who got us back in it in the second half. I think we were down at the half. I don't remember exactly. We were up one at the end of three. But the best moment of the game for me, Hank, was when Ty Lue just swapped the entire bench out for Ivica Zubac, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris Sr., Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard. It's about 10 minutes left in the game.
Hockey switch.
He did a full five hockey swap.
You love it.
We were down five, maybe down three at that point. I never doubted it. We won decisively. Everybody was great, especially your starting point guard, who, by the way, he's the guy, and his name is Reggie Jackson.
Oh, wow. He was great tonight, wasn't he? 23 points, and he really kept us in it. He really did.
100%.
Where no one was scoring, 100%. He was scoring. 6-for-6 from the free throw line, 7-of-12 from the field, and maybe most importantly, 3-of-5 from three, and really great. He was great tonight. So I guess
he's
got
to be your Hanks player of the game. He's got to be your Hanks player.
Very special mention to Ivica Zubac, who tied his career high with 18 rebounds. But what keeps Ivica Zubac from being Hanks player of the game is that, yeah, of course he got a lot of rebounds because we missed a lot of shots in the first half.
No, but he did gobble up a lot of boards
really
versus
did.
A tall Detroit team.
So a tall and youthful Detroit team. I don't know if you realize
this.
Hey,
how about everyone keeps saying –
what's that?
Everyone in Clipper Nation keeps saying we need to trade for a proper backup big. But I got news for you, partners. We got a proper backup big. His name is Moses. Stop and smell the roses. Brown, and you got to love him, Hank.
Sure. 2-of-2 from the field tonight, Moses Brown. Four big points.
But he was a big energy guy, came in off the bench, came in, was a rim protector, came in and shot perfectly. Came in and made a difference, was a spark plug. I hope Ty Lue uses him even more in the future.
Yeah, he only played 5 minutes, and he made nice numbers in the time he was in there. 100%, buddy. 100%.
4 points, 5 minutes. I guarantee you he had more incidentals than that as well. It was so great to see Kawhi Leonard back on the floor where he belongs, and more importantly, in that starting slot.
This is the easy part now because I'm able to, you know, get in the game, play. But, you know, last season, it was a long season for me, just, you know, going in there, doing what I can to just strengthen the knee, strengthen the whole body, knowing that I'm not going to be able to touch the floor. You know, it was pretty draining, but, you know, I pushed hard and to get to this point now. And like I said, it's still going to be a long journey, so I just got to keep fighting.
Hank, I don't know how many games we're deep now into the season. At one point, I said, Reggie Jackson is your starter. John Wall comes off the bench. You said, no, Chris. John Wall should be your starting point guard. Reggie Jackson should come off the bench. You swayed me to say, you're right, Hank. John Wall should be your starter, and Reggie Jackson should cut off the bench. Now, my question to you is, Hank, with all these games in our pocket, we're two games over 500. Were you right? Or were you wrong?
Oh, I still think it's inconclusive evidence, to be honest.
Disagree.
Reggie Jackson was amazing tonight, but I still am not sure we know a thing.
Disagree.
We have to really keep in mind the fact that the Clippers are the second worst team offensively in the league and the best team defensively in the league.
Wow.
And so I still think that Ty Lue has some things to figure out, but Reggie Jackson was incredible tonight, and he's had a couple of great games back-to-back that are very exciting. And no doubt he's playing better than John Wall right now. No doubt. But I wouldn't say I was wrong. I don't know. It doesn't need to be about who's right and wrong.
I was wrong.
Come on.
I was wrong when I said John Wall should start as your point guard. Reggie Jackson is, in my eyes, has proven himself to be the definitive. L.A. Clippers knows the system. Knows the guys, gels so well with his best pal, Paul George. I think Reggie Jackson is hands down the right decision for your starting point guard. And look at that starting five when we got that
hockey
swap.
Now, wait a second. Are you arguing that 23 points is better than 3 points?
I guarantee you John Wall had more turnovers than baskets. I guarantee you he had more turnovers than points.
Yeah, he had more turnovers than anything. He had six turnovers, 3 points, 4 assists.
Yeah, and you say it's inconclusive. Your Honor, I'd like to have the plaintiff repeat what he just said. Can the bailiff read it back? I don't understand court
talk.
Well,
certainly we all know that a point guard, especially, but no player can have more turnovers than assists. That ratio is a dangerous thing.
I like him as a spark plug, fast break machine, running and gunning, coming off the bench. And with Terrence Mann, because Terrence Mann is speedy.
Well.
John Wall is speedy.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get Kennard back. Kennard, by the way, has played admirably as a starter. I think they only lost one, maybe two games tops with Kennard as a starter. I don't have
he's
that info
great.
In front of me, but he's been great. He's a little banged up, but I like the fact that it says questionable or doubtful as opposed to all caps out. And I think, by the way, looking at the schedule, Hank, it's a game every other day, 6 games in 12 days with no back-to-backs. I think Kawhi plays every single one of those games, pal.
Oh, I hope so. It's hard for me to imagine that they're managing minutes when they played him 25 minutes his first game back in almost double-digit games.
Well,
I mean, what's he played? This is his third game of the season, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, and I believe they're 2-1 in those games. But we haven't seen a 30-minute game from him yet.
Yeah, but you don't play him 25 minutes if then you're not going to play him 2 days later is my feeling. I think he's going to play.
I absolutely agree.
I think he's going to play. And you don't if it was dicey as to whether or not he should play, I don't think you start him. I don't think you play him 25 minutes. I just don't.
I love the win tonight. We are finally 500 at home. You throw in the away win at crypto.com. Now we're a winning basketball team in downtown Los Angeles. You love to see it. We are absolutely great on the road. Do you have the season standings in front of you, my friend? Are you looking at the standings perchance?
No, wait, you're talking about the actual NBA-wide standings?
Yes, sir. I'm asking you about the Western Conference because we went in tonight. We were maybe 8 or 9, I want to say, with Sacramento ahead of us at one game over 500. Now we're 2 games over 500. Did we just piggyback over Sucktown Queen, Sacramento, the state's capital, is my question
I'm looking now. Listen, I'm looking at it on ESPN.com.
Hit refresh, baby. Hit refresh.
I just loaded it, so okay. I can't refresh it again. But
what is our record according to the
standings? We're 9-7, and the Kings are 8-6. So they're still two games better with less losses.
Right.
So right now they're 8. Oh,
so
they're 8, and we're 9.
Ah.
And Portland is first. Who had that?
I know, but Utah's crashing down to earth. I think they've lost 4 in a row, perhaps. Utah is coming back down to earth. You love to see it.
Three
in a row they've lost.
Yeah.
Phoenix, Chris Paul is out. They haven't been particularly good while Chris Paul is out. You love to see it. So Phoenix is coming down. Portland up top. Talk to me. If we're 9, who's 1 through 8, Hank?
Portland is number 1. They just lost a game. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Then Phoenix just won their last game.
They're number 2.
Then Denver is number 3. They lost their last game. They're 7-3 in the last 10. Utah Jazz are 4. New Orleans Pelicans are 5. Both of those teams are 6-4 in their last 10. And then the Memphis Grizzlies are 6th, and they've lost 2 in a row.
Okay.
Then you get into the Dallas Mavericks at 7, Kings, Clippers, T-Wolves 10th. And what's really fun here in our Schadenfreude cast is that the L word, the Lakers, are 3-10. They're second to the bottom in the Western Conference, but their pick would go to New Orleans.
Oh, you love to see it.
Their pick would go to New Orleans
to
if they got the
it,
first
Hank.
Pick. And their first round pick belongs to New Orleans, I guess, because of the Anthony Davis trade.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Oh, look at him. Listen to him cackle.
Welcome to Gloatcast.
Ah, baby. Oh, baby. So I had some interesting seats tonight, Hank. I sat behind the Detroit Pistons bench, okay?
Okay.
And in front of me was, I'm going to call this man the Detroit Piston Hydrator. He was on the staff of the Detroit Pistons. He was in charge of everybody's Gatorade bottle, and each player had something individually different in their Gatorade bottle. It was fascinating. So at one point, he's like, what bottle is that? Number blank. Okay, so it's like, I don't know, Bay on Detroit, let's say. He goes, what's in there? Water. The hydrator goes, put the white stuff in it. The guy goes, what flavor? Lemon lime. It was really fascinating.
Oh. So it's probably like all of their, like the electrolytes that they like,
yes,
or their pre-workout or their post-workout, and then probably also what flavor they prefer.
Well, I was there, and I know for a fact it's called the white stuff and that it was lemon lime flavored.
So that's how they do it. In a lot of circles, you just got the entire training to be the hydrator.
Put the white stuff in it. Which flavor? Lemon lime, man. Lemon lime.
Oh my! You're gonna get discovered from this episode of ClipCast.
Oh gosh, I can't wait.
Brand new career.
I can't wait to be the Clippers official hydrator for the Clippers. I can't wait.
Sorry, buddy. You're gonna get approached by the Lakers to be their official.
Oh, I'll turn him down flat. I'll say no to Jeannie Buss's face. Did you know Jeannie Buss may or may not be dating comedian Jay Moore?
Oh Lord, it doesn't surprise me. You would turn down the money from the Lakers and not take the job from them, unlike Clipper Darryl.
All right, so let's talk more Kawhi Leonard. Here's the cool thing, Hank. Guess who broke the news to me that Kawhi Leonard was playing for the Clippers tonight?
Oh, let it be me. Was it me?
Zubank Hank, all the way from Burbank in the Dawn Patrol studios, texted me, Kawhi is starting. And I
felt so sure that you were going to get texted by everybody that the second that I saw it, I have never typed a text so fast in my life.
Well, you hit send and you were number one. And I replied to you. Do you remember what I replied to you? It was very baffling to you.
No, I don't remember. Remind me.
I replied the emoji of nauseous face.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I was like, what?
You're like, wait,
really
does that make you
understand?
And then I literally replied the puke emoji and then zeros and ones because
then I
was
it.
Overwhelmed with emotions, and I turned into binary code, and I literally mouth ejaculated, or vomited rather, zeros and ones. I was overwhelmed by emotion because he was listed as capital O-U-T out just yesterday, and then they did some retraction today, and I missed it.
They made him questionable. Yeah.
So I'm just so happy that it was you, Burbank Hank, that told me that Kawhi was back. It was you, pal. You're the one who gave me the good news.
Yeah, and he had the he had the rust flakes. There's no doubt about it.
For
but
sure.
Like great but like great players do, he did other things.
That's
he
exactly
got four
it.
Assists. He got five rebounds.
He's
got in there
so
and scrummed
disruptive.
It up. And drew attention and drew double teams.
Exactly, Hank.
So he did. That's what you do. That's what you do when you're a great player.
I couldn't. Every time he was in the first half, I couldn't watch anyone but him. And that's what he does when he's on the floor. You just can't help but all eyes on Kawhi, which then frees up PG, frees up Reggie, frees up Zoo, frees up Mook. So he is just such a disruptor defensively. He's such an all eyes on Kawhi's offensively. Just having him out there made all the difference. I never doubted in the world. I never doubted for a second. Let me ask you this, Hank. They had the lead, the bad guys, pretty much the whole first half. It was not really until the third quarter that we took over. At any point where you're nervous like Uncle Purvis or Aunt Jervis?
No, I wasn't nervous Purvis. I did feel pretty strongly that we were going to pull it out against the the 3-12 Detroit Pistons, now 3-13 Detroit Pistons, the worst in the Eastern Conference. I wasn't confident Bonifant.
Oh, I was.
I wasn't nervous Purvis. I did feel like we would win, but also this season has been a bit of a conundrum,
sure.
And I was resigned Brian.
Oh, I like it. It's an actual name. It doesn't have to rhyme.
I was neutral butral sat there.
Now he's back.
Just
well, I was Uncle Bonifant, very confident the entire as I got that
text. If I'd had to bet, I felt like we were gonna pull it out. I really did. I never felt like they were gonna run away with it on us. And also, Mook Morris has been playing great this season, and he kept us in that game too. But not to gloss over our sweet, sweet Mook.
As soon as you sent me that text, I was Bonifant confident, Uncle Bonifant, or whatever the hell it is from Peasboro, Texas. I was super confident as soon as I got that text that Kawhi was playing. I was confident
was
the entire
Beaumont,
first
Texas.
Half.
I'll have you know it was Beaumont, Texas.
I sat, like I said, I sat by the Detroit Hydrator. I sat behind the Detroit Pistons bench. There was a lot of Detroit fans talking a lot of smack in that first half. I kept very, very quiet.
About what?
Very, very quiet. All three of their wins. All three of their wins.
Yeah. And then, Detroit basketball.
I heard a couple of those. All right, so Burbank Hank, something kind of cool happened tonight here at the Crypt in the Clipto.com arena. Our Clipcast fans, who we absolutely love and adore, Edward and Rihanna, all the way from across the pond, all the way from England, they flew from Heathrow nonstop to San Diego, drove up to downtown Los Angeles, and are here for just over a week. Take a listen to their schedule. They're going to the game tonight. Edward dominated Jumbotron, was on Jumbotron multiple times. They're going to the game on Saturday here in downtown Los Angeles versus the Spurs.
Great.
Guaranteed W. They're going to the game home Monday. Who do we play?
Jazz.
Versus the Jazz. Statement
wow.
W. Statement W. And then guess what they're doing?
They're not
they
going
are
up
taking,
to Golden State.
May I say it in British? How are you getting up to San Francisco? We're taking the coach. What do you think the coach means?
I assume that it means they're getting up on Ty Lue's shoulders and riding him.
Well, I thought they meant their flying coach. But no, they're taking the coach, mate. It's the bus. It is the bus. It is not Ty Lue's shoulders. It is not the train. And it is not coach.
I'm just going to guess that bus does not take the scenic route, but I am proud of them.
So they're going. What are they doing? They're coming back down to L.A. and watching
Denver.
The Clippers on Friday. Who are they playing Friday?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? Denver Nuggets. And they're seeing a great series of games.
Absolutely. Spurs, and Jazz, then guess Warriors, what they're Nuggets? Doing? 48 hours later, Sunday day game. Who are the Clippers playing?
Pacers.
Edward and Rihanna will be in the building for every other day, every
six
Clipper
games.
Game, California's
six games.
Game. 5 out of 6 at home. One in San Fran, and then they get back on the plane, and they jet back to London. How cool are they, dude?
They're really cool. They're really cool. Big Clipcast fans make them cool anyway, and that's really fun for them. They get to see the Pistons who – hey, man, you got to say this about the Pistons, by the way. They have 5 players that are under the age of 24 years old.
They're young.
They got 2 18-year-olds.
Crazy.
They are a young team, and Pacers too. Pacers have a lot of great young talent. They're going to see some up-and-coming teams. They're going to get to see Steph Curry get 50 points in a loss. That's going to be fun for them and get to see that whole thing implode.
You know, the Warriors still haven't won on the road yet.
I assume Klay Thompson will be playing in a captain's jacket and sailor cap and bell-bottom pants.
So Edward said to me tonight, he goes, I can't believe, mate, all the Laker gear. Excuse me, L-word gear. I'm sorry. I can't believe, mate, all the L-word gear here. If they tried that in England, they would be beat up.
They would be beat up.
Said, and I told him, I go, look, it's, you know, it's L.A. and it's not exactly Manchester United. You know what I mean? But, okay, here's the thing, Hank. Here's the thing. We are the best team.
Don't you always, whenever you're
going
to go to Disneyland, when you're going to Disneyland, though, don't you always wear your Six Flags and Knott's Berry Farm t-shirts?
Sure
to
do.
Represent, like, get a hold of yourselves. You're
What's
not
crazy
at
is
that game.
Detroit's playing the L word tomorrow night. Wear your L word gear to that Detroit
what
LA game.
What makes here's what makes sense to me. I'm a basketball fan first and foremost.
Sure.
But what I understand is when I have gone to LA Rams games and somebody is repping their NFL team because their team is playing that day.
Right.
And so maybe they went to a bar, or maybe they're going to see the highlights,
right,
or whatever it is. But they're not a Rams fan, but they're wearing their Bucks gear all day, or they're wearing their Dallas Cowboys gear all day because their team is playing that day.
Who has more wins, the L word or Detroit basketball?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question.
I think they're both at 3. I think they're both a bunch of jerks who've only won 3 games.
It could be. Yeah, 3. Well, the Lakers have lost less games.
But they've only won 6 games between
three.
The two teams, 3
yeah.
each.
The teams together are 6-23.
That's going to be a great game that I will not watch a single second of tomorrow. All right, so let's talk the homestand with that little blip at San Francisco. You are telling me in less than 48 hours we have a guaranteed W versus San Antonio, who we've already beaten. We're 3-0 versus Houston. We're 1-0 versus San Antonio, I believe. So, I like us in that game. And Kawhi Leonard's going to have a big game versus his previous employer, his former employer.
Yeah, you like to think so. And I want to say, too, some of what was happening with Kawhi was him hoisting up threes. He missed a couple of free throws. These are rust things.
Sure.
These are rust things. We don't lean on Kawhi Leonard to shoot threes. We want him inside, and they weren't letting him inside. Their young bigs were keeping him out. But yeah, you like to think that if he's going to have a big game, it's going to be against the Spurs.
Absolutely.
It's going to be against the Spurs. But just being on the court for any amount of time right now for Kawhi Leonard is a big game.
Absolutely.
I don't care if his stat line is straight zeros.
It ain't going to be.
I would still be thrilled tonight that he was on the court, and it wasn't straight zeros. A lot of intangibles and a lot of great tangibles.
I like us. Home versus San Diego, 48 hours after that, Utah, who is trending down, right? Is it the Jazz 48 hours after Spurs?
Yes.
I like good guys in that game. And that is a statement game because Utah came in here and beat us already. We got to beat them back.
Yeah, I mean, I like that too. What I like would be for Kawhi Leonard to find his spots and shoot. And I would really like for us to just start improving our offensive efficiency.
Sure. We're the number one defense is what you're telling me.
Number one. And we're the number one defense, and Detroit is the worst defense.
Oh.
They're the 30th defense, and we're the number one defense. So that was fun to see that. We just are not great offensively.
And what I'm
looking... We also had a lot of injuries and a lot of issues, and like now Luke Kennard's out. So,
well,
you know,
yeah,
we're bit
he'll be
by
back.
The bug.
He'll be back, and everybody else is
oh,
healthy.
Yeah.
What concerns me the most, Hank, is what I've seen the last two games is these sluggish 15-point first quarter starts. We did it two games in a row.
It's a bad habit.
It's a bad habit. We got to get out of it. And I understand at Dallas was night two of a back-to-back. I totally get that. However, we had rest. We were home. And the home games have downright frightened me because we haven't played particularly well in front of the home crowd for the home cooking. We're finally, I believe, at 4-4 at home. And then you throw in that at L-word W, that puts us 5-4 in downtown Los Angeles. Is that accurate?
I don't know. 5-4, I don't know home versus
if you're looking
road.
At the standings, they got the home and the away to the right of the win-loss column, my brother.
Not on what I'm looking on, but all good.
Oh, you son of a gun. I actually have to look something up. I cannot believe all that I do for this show and then just add it to the list. Add it to the list. Now, my gut said we were 4-4 at home, and add in the at L word W, and we're 5-4 in downtown Los Angeles. Ring the bell, because the kid points to self, Chris Kowild, is 100% accurate with the call. We are a terrific away team, 5-3 on the road. And by the way, that third loss was night two of a back-to-back in a game that was right in Bob Covington's fingertips. Can we go back in time and talk about the French night? Can we talk about Nico Batum going, and I am quoting this, 7-for-7 from three? A perfect first time in franchise history, 7-for-7 from three, 21 points. Then at the end of the game, he goes to the free throw line. He makes his first basket to get us within two. And what does he do? He intentionally misses the second free throw. The only miss of the entire night for Nico Batum, the French night, was an intentional miss. It's right in Bob Covington's hands, and it slips through his fingers. I mean, it was literally catch it, open layup, tie the game, let's go to OT. Clippers have all the momentum in the world. But it slips out of Bob Covington's hands. Now, fans were like, why do you put Bob Covington in? He was cold as ice. I understand why Ty Lue did that. He put in Bob Covington. He put in Zubats to get that intentional missed free throw rebound because they're big, they're strong, they're long, they're lanky. Bob Covington, as we know, has some of the best hands in the NBA. But those best hands are deflecting passes, blocking shots. Sadly, it was right in his fingertips and it slipped out. But hats off to the French knight, Nico Batum, 7-for-7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-for-7, mon ami, the French knight. It was beautiful.
He was beautiful. He played great. And that's off the bench, by the way. It's not easy to come off the bench and hit, go perfect.
Yeah.
And be perfect. And those were his only shots. He didn't shoot a two.
No, he
didn't. He only shot threes.
No, he didn't. And then he shot that free throw. I think he ended up with 22 points. Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, he did turn. That's exactly right. 22 points in 26 minutes.
It was a great gutty comeback. We only scored 15 points in the first quarter of that game versus Luka Doncic. Just hate Luka Doncic. And then 17 points in the second quarter. I'm doing some quick math. That's not a lot of points. 15 plus 17. That's 32 first half points.
But luckily, you know, being one of the best defenses in the league turned around and helped us as they only scored 15 points in the third quarter.
Absolutely. And so, we had 30.
So we turned it around there. 33. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So that was a thrilling comeback. And it was right in our fingers. And it just slipped out of Bob Covington's fingers. But I'm not really that mad because it was such a thrilling comeback. And it was a great game, especially night two of a back-to-back.
But, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
I will just say that Reggie Jackson played 25 minutes and John Wall played 26 minutes.
Oh.
And Reggie Jackson scored 6 points and John Wall scored 17 points on 6 of 11 shooting. And Reggie Jackson went 3 of 7 and 0 for 3 from 3.
Now, my counterpoint.
And John Wall got 4 assists and 6 rebounds to Reggie Jackson's 2 assists and 4 rebounds.
My counterpoint is
inconclusive.
No, it's conclusive. John Wall didn't play the night before. John Wall doesn't play back-to-backs. John Wall was not playing game one, the decisive W versus Houston. John Wall, when he doesn't play, the Clippers are undefeated. I believe it's now 4-0 when John Wall doesn't play.
No, I will. Jokes aside, I really do love that John Wall is able to drive the lane and go coast.
Oh, I love John Wall. I really do love him.
And I think what you need in the second unit of almost any team is a guy who can get out there and just score and score in bunches and
score
do it
will.
On his own and do it fast.
Sure.
So, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about.
I would argue that for where we're sitting right now, Reggie Jackson continues to be your starting point guard. And maybe a lot of that is chemistry, because you're talking about Marcus Morris, Zubats, Reggie Jackson, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. Now you're talking about five guys that have been playing with each other prior to this season. And I think what we really need to get out of the basement with our offensive rating is to find cohesion and find chemistry and start playing like a team that has been playing with each other for more than 15 games, because so far we've been playing like a team that hasn't played together for any games. So we've got, like, we just feel lackluster and confused offensively. So if you can play five guys to start the game that have played together for an entire season prior to this, and by the way, they haven't, because Kawhi was out
available.
And because Paul George missed games. But I think you go for any chemistry you've got to start these games.
Astute.
And try to, maybe next game, try to score 16 points in the first quarter. Just start with that.
Can we please score 25 at least?
Just
How about 30?
Oh, Joe, you're greedy. Greedy,
well,
Chris Kawhild.
You know, your astute point brings up something I wanted to talk about with you. We are two games over 500. We're 9-7. We've played 16 basketball games. We're about four games away from the first quarter of the season being in the books. Like you just said, defensively, we're playing very well. Offensively, we are not playing very well. But it is a testament to how talented this team is and that number one defense that we are above 500. Being as abysmal as we are offensively, it is a testament to how talented each individual guy is and how great the defense has been to be two games over 500. And I think this team can definitely start gelling in this six game in 12 day stand, five at home, one on the road, but no back-to-backs, zero back-to-backs in basically 2 weeks for the first time all season. What do you think we do? We've already got one in the books. Okay, in that six in 12 days, Hank, what do you think we go? We've already got one win in the books.
4-2.
Okay, the game that scares me the most, sadly, is at San Francisco, because they're real good in that building.
Yeah, and they hate us.
Oh, yeah, they really hate us.
They really love – those guys love to beat us. Specifically, Klay Thompson loves to beat us.
They are 6-1 in San Francisco.
Yeah, and they feel great at home. Yeah, that's probably it. But, you know, we could beat them.
We could definitely beat them. Will we beat them? I hope so. So you're saying 4-2 out of the next 6 in 12 days. Granted, one is just in the books. We beat Detroit with a decisive
second half. So we're already off to a great start.
We're
1-0 right now.
Who scares you at home? Is it the Nuggets? Is it the Jazz? I doubt it's the young Pacers, but possibly. I doubt it's the Spurs, but possibly. Who scares you at home?
Well, I think that the Nuggets are number three for a reason. So if I'm just talking about the standings, the Nuggets maybe they're pretty scary.
Sure.
Them and the Jazz score a pretty similar amount of points in a game, points per game. But in conference, the Jazz are 9-3 and the Nuggets are 7-3. I don't know. They're both equally scary to me. I would actually say that the Nuggets and the Jazz as a tandem make me the most nervous. But what edges it is that the Jazz have lost three in a row.
Yeah, I think Denver is more scary than Utah for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Denver is slightly better on the road at 5-4 versus Utah's 5-5, but Utah is trending down.
Do you think the Blazers are going to hold on like this and keep running it like this? Like, holy cow. I mean, they're not ahead by a lot. Frankly, they're only one loss better than the Jazz.
I mean,
right?
The number one team is the Portland Trail Blazers, And then a half game behind them is Phoenix, Denver, Utah. And then one game behind them is Pelicans, Grizz. And then Clippers, yeah. Dallas, and Kings are 1.5 games. So, yes, yeah. we are the seed, but we're actually tied for 7th if you look at it in the games behind. So, yeah, it's a real horse race. It is fascinating, the Western Conference. And I was dead wrong when I thought there was only going to be 6 or 7 winning teams. There's clearly going to be 8 or 9 winning teams, and it is going to be a dogfight, I think, till the bitter end. And I still stand pat that the Clippers will be that number one team because I think they'll figure it out. They haven't looked particularly great all season, and they're 1.5 games out of first.
Well, you can do that. First of all, it's only 15 games in, which doesn't hurt that any.
16, you dog.
So, excuse me. Excuse me, Your Honor. Toot, toot. But you know what? You can win games.
Bailiff, strike that toot from the record.
Your Honor, objection. Leave one toot.
Your Honor.
You can hold on and win games.
Right.
You can hold on and win games when you're the best defensive team in the league. Even when, because you get more shots up. Because you get more stops. And Paul George is averaging over 4 deflections a game.
Incredible.
So we're getting the ball and we're getting stops, so you get more chances to shoot and you can win games. So, and again, we're doing all this without our best player.
and again, our best player is back.
No, he's back.
He's back.
Big time.
I'm very interested to see in the next 5 games in the next 11 days, because this has decisively been Paul George's Clippers so far this season. Decisively. It's not up for debate. And they have had guys contribute like Mook Morris, like Nico Batum, like Reggie Jackson, like John Wall, like Luke Kennard, like Terrence Mann. They've had guys contribute. But this is decisively Paul George's basketball team.
Agree.
Will it still be Paul George's team when we have that back-to-back in 2 weeks? Or will it be Kawhi and Paul George's team? I don't think it's going to be all of a sudden decisively Kawhi Leonard's team over the next 5 games. Well, but I do think it might be PG and Kawhi's team. If you had to choose between, is it PG and Kawhi's team or is it PG's team? What do you predict?
I'm going to answer your question with a question.
Great.
How long do you think it's going to take for Kawhi Leonard to start being an offensive force again? Because I think that's the answer to your question. The answer to your question is, but to me, the leader of the team is the biggest personality of the team, not just the best player on the team.
Well, Reggie Jackson's got the biggest personality, but I hear you. Paul George's personality is bigger than Kawhi.
Exactly. So I don't think Kawhi Leonard ever really cares necessarily about being the guy that's pulling everyone into the huddle.
100%.
But it's just, to me, it's really going to depend on what it takes for Kawhi Leonard to really find his stroke, which so far this season we've not really seen. But I think I also feel a little bit like he's out there just feeling the court. Like he's out there shooting threes and he's out there trying his mid-range and he's just trying stuff out to get comfortable.
Well, I'll tell you something, Hank.
How much of this is about him trying to make sure he can do this safely?
Sure. You asked me the question, when is Kawhi back as an offensive dynamo, basically. I'm paraphrasing you. I think the genie's out of the bottle in 48 hours versus his former employer, San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, you think he blows up?
I think he does. I mean, give him like 20. Give him a minimum of 20 points versus San Antonio.
Oh, I would take it.
Of course. Of course you would.
I would love it. I would honestly be really thrilled if he could get an efficient 15.
I'm guessing Reggie Jackson was the high scorer of tonight, is my guess.
That's my guess, too. I'm not looking at it right now. I'm looking at the standings.
Okay, I will tell you now.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there, though. I'm heading
Reggie Jackson led the Clippers with 23 points. Two players had the second most amount of points with 16 each. Would you like to guess who they are?
Wait, ask me the question again, because I was tracking things and not...
Reggie Jackson led the Clippers tonight with 23 points. We had 4 players. Yeah. 4 players in double digits. 2 players tied with 16 points each for the second most points behind Reggie Jackson. Which players were they?
Paul George.
Correct.
Ivica Zubats.
No, sir. Ivica Zubats did not get in double digits. He was double digits in rebounds. That player was Mook Morris. And Mook Morris has been fantastic this season.
Yeah, he's been great. He's really been great.
And the guy I want to talk to you next about was fourth highest scorer, our fourth guy in double digits, the spark plug off the bench with 14 points. Let's talk about him, Stormin' Norman General Powell.
Boy, if you told me that a player was going to dunk decisively at the point where we were trying to hold a lead at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Powell would not even have been in my top three of guesses.
Kapowell!
Like, he came through with that dunk, and I was like, all right, Norman Powell.
Hey, how about that PG miss dunk? Oh, my gosh. That was going to be a highlight of all highlights if PG
landed. Yeah, that was crazy.
But to go back to Powell started – he stubbed his toe out of the gate. We can admit that. He was the starting two guard when we first started, and then he got replaced with Luke Kennard, and then the team started winning. He wasn't really performing when we were 2-4 in that first six. But coming off the bench, he has absolutely been admirable, the general, Stormin' Norman Powell, how he has turned it around and how he has shot much, much better and more consistently. I love Norm Powell. He's been great.
Oh, I love him too. Listen, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 5 of 9 from the field, 3
that
of
dunk,
4 from the charity
stripe. That decisive
strike.
Dunk.
It's great. 1 assist, 0 turnovers. You got to like that as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. Because the turnovers were plaguing him earlier. You're absolutely right, Hank.
And also, speaking of plagued by turnovers, it was great to see Paul George only get 4.
Sure.
Because turnovers were a big issue for him versus the Mavs.
A lot of wonky refereeing tonight. There was just like a real slow part of the game where all of a sudden Ty Lue coaches challenge and the foul is overturned and it goes to the Clippers. And then like 2 plays later, Detroit tries to challenge and they lose it, which I loved. But man, did it just absolutely kill the momentum of that third quarter, which you would think would have benefited Detroit, but it didn't. But it was really freaking boring. All those back-to-back coaches challenges. Now all of a sudden I'm like, hey, hydrator, what's in the white stuff? It's lemon lime,
buddy. Lemon lime, dude. It's obviously lemon lime, and
you know that
because you've gone through the training. You've gone through the training, and you're qualified to do his job.
All right, man.
There's probably someone whose cousin is a hydrator right now listening to this who's going to tweet us and say, that's disrespectful to the art of hydration.
Well, first of all, it is absolutely a fact that we are the most listened to podcast by professional hydrators. This is an absolute fact.
The hydrator cast.
The most hydrated cast.
Wet cast.
All right, Hank, before I let you go, let's just wrap up the show one last time and talk about that feeling when Kawhi Leonard came back. I love that it was you that texted me. I was literally,
the reason I
sent you nauseous face emoji face was because I was literally overwhelmed with emotions.
You couldn't handle it.
That they were bursting out of me, that I felt like I was going to puke a rainbow. I was so absolutely thrilled, and I think it's thrilling that you broke the news to me. And congratulations, Clipper Nation, because I know I've heard your cries. I've heard your despair. Hey, we're doing good, but where's the guy? Well, the guy is back.
After I played those first 2 games, it was dead already. T. Lou wanted me to start the games and get us going in a flow. So, before I sat out, I knew I was going to be starting out.
Yeah, he's back. It feels so good. I have to say, until I saw that the news, I really today several times thought, are we just not going to get him back?
Right. I thought it was going to be Christmas. I was wrong.
Is this just it? I didn't know what was happening. Last year was so devastating to never see him come back and to have him dangled in front of us so much.
Oh, yeah.
Today specifically was the day where I had a pretty dark moment thinking, we're just not going to get him back. And we will have really just made all these moves to get the best player in the league and never have him. And this is going to just be Lob City 2.0 of like what could have been without injuries.
Right. The thing that we did was the Western Conference Finals in Game 6, Round 2.
It wasn't only good news. It came on the day that I felt the most defeated about it, if I'm honest. So it was thrilling. And then to see him play, when I saw he was playing, I thought, they're going to play in 15 minutes.
Right. Or 20.
I really did.
And he was going to come off the bench again in the second quarter, like so weirdly.
But no, sir. No, sir.
I am so thrilled that he's back. I had this weird epiphany a couple of days ago on a sleepless night. Now, this was before we got the clue that he was activated for 5-on-5 at practice. This is before we got the clue that he went on that trip to Houston and Dallas for the Texas two-step. Those were a couple of clues. Like, oh, he's getting close. But before that, I had this weird and, thank God, wrong epiphany. Oh, you know it's going to happen. Now, I still think part of this is true. I thought LeBron James, for the L word, is going to break the all-time scoring record sometime in, like, January, okay? And then Kawhi Leonard is going to come back and win it all. Now, I think Kawhi Leonard is going to win it all with this franchise, and I pray to God that it's this season. And I pray to God that it's before we move into that sweet, sweet Intuit Dome. But I do think LeBron James is going to get that scoring title sometime in January or February, and that's going to be the big story. And then after that point, the big story will be Kawhi Leonard's Clippers. So now I'm amending that epiphany, and I say by the time LeBron breaks that scoring title, the Clippers, your Clippers, my Clippers, our LA Clippers will be the number one team in the West.
I want that as well. Now I do want to say this about the LeBron James winning the scoring title.
Yes.
I don't care.
That's cap, no cap, or I don't give a crap.
We haven't been playing cap, no cap, I don't give a crap. Next, please promise me next Clipcast we'll do it again. That's a great game.
No cap, we will definitely play that next game. That is no cap. All right, Hank, well, I give a huge crap about you, and I give a huge crap about the Clippers, and I give a massive dump in the toilet like a big boy over Kawhi Leonard back. Kawhi is back, baby.
Oh, buddy, why don't you sound the big boy dump in the toilet horn?